We are shameful, we are shameful, but not as shameful as we should be. Welcome back, listeners, to Shame on Me. I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Janet.
And I'm Stefan.
And we're back for our second hour of diving into the life of a showgirl. On this episode, we lose Stefan halfway through, so please treasure every moment we have with him. You never know what you have until it's gone. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Swift. But Taylor Swift has said herself in the Apple Music video or interview, she's not the art police.
Right.
She has no problem with the subjective experience of art and people's takes on her art. And one thing that I really loved what she said, let's see, where is it? I have a lot of respect for people's subjective opinions on art. I'm not the art police. An album is a wild way to look at yourself and your life. And I have such an eye on legacy. I know what I made. I know I adore it. And I'm like, good for you, Taylor.
Yeah.
Good for fucking you.
She's going to get every possible opinion under the sun. So it's like, what do I want to listen to? Like, obviously, the negative opinion voices are probably going to be a lot louder. But there's so many positive opinions as well.
Yeah.
So her just like recognizing that there's going to be all kinds of opinions. Am I happy with it? Yes. Are people around me receiving it well? People
that I care about.
Me?
Yeah.
Like also, how is, you know, Travis Kelce's mom going to take the song with? Like, is she going to listen to it? Is she going to like ask a lot of questions?
We are hoping
Donna Kelce is not taking Travis's wood.
The song.
I think, I just had a thought and I lost it. It's the whole, like, people say, you know, like, the listen to the good stuff, don't listen to the bad stuff. But what I've been hearing recently, which I think is a very fair point, it's like, well, if you listen to the good stuff, then you are going to listen to the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you're giving, regardless, you're giving strangers power.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels positive when you're listening to the stuff that is, like, them supporting you and saying kind things. But if you're giving that power, then it's much easier to give the negative stuff power as well.
The good stuff exists because of the bad stuff. It's like the highs and lows in life. Like, you have the highs because of the lows.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think, like Taylor's at a point in her life where she's like, I still care about what people think, but I don't care about what everybody thinks. First and foremost, I care about what I think.
Yeah.
And I care about what the people I love and the people I care about think.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's her North Star right now. And I think that, again, like that ties into the one of the main themes of the album, where like Taylor is like this mentor figure, and she's saying, like, in a lot of interviews she talks about how like we've got like this public life on social media and what we present to everybody, and then we've also got like this less public life that we eventually share with other people, and she's just like, yeah, you know, like I'm doing my fucking thing.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time doing it.
Yeah.
And in one of the interviews, she was like, I've always had this fear that if I'm ever like happy, that like I won't be able to write the way that I used to.
Oh, that's interesting. I could see that being a fear.
And I think this is also like coming out through Showgirl, where it's like the people who only accept the... Oh, are you going to sneeze? No, it's a big yawn. So cute. There are people who are like, yeah, I only accept Taylor when she is like...
Miserable
and having her heart broken.
And,
and there are going to be people who don't accept Taylor when she's miserable and having her heart broken and shit.
But she can write when she's happy.
Yeah.
So she's happy.
And like, I see so many people enjoying this album.
Yeah.
I see so many people like having fun with it, singing along to it, dancing to it. And they're all fun. They're all pretty. So
yeah,
what more do we need?
It's true.
When the fun and pretty people are having fun.
They're having fun.
Yeah.
They're having fun and having more opportunities to be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she recorded it while she was on tour. And I think she had a great time when she was on tour.
Great time.
She was having fun.
During part of the time. There was a time she was on tour that she was not having fun.
Oh. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, okay. Might as well start getting into the tracks. Yeah.
Hey? Okay. I pulled up all the lyrics. I've got them all in front of me.
Let's start off with The Life of a Showgirl.
Oh, okay. Backwards. I like it.
Well, we're not going to go backwards, but I think starting off with the title track gives a hint of like things to look out for as we go through it.
Okay.
And we see like Taylor has like this mentor in the showgirl, and the showgirl is like, you don't want this. Like, you only see the showgirl aspect of it. You have no idea
what's behind the scenes. Yeah.
But we like, I definitely see a lot of like what they made her money being pretty and witty. They gave her keys to the city. They said she didn't do it legitly. I think that's a very not a valid criticism.
Yeah.
That's a common criticism that Taylor gets, where it's like, oh, you're just famous because women like you, because you hate men and you're the perfect person in relationships and all these men hurt you and you've never done anything bad, which is absolutely crazy. Like, You Belong With Me is not a moral thing.
And it's not attacking anyone.
No.
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 Love story? Like, what? What a song.
What a song.
What a
song. And Love Story ties into the fate of Ophelia.
Oh, cute.
It has that Shakespearean thing.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I follow one person on TikTok, and they're a very big, like, English major person. And so they were stoked. They thought this was going to be, like, an homage to... this was, like, going to be describing Ophelia's fate from, like, a Taylor Swift lens. When it was like completely the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, I don't even think Taylor's read the play. And I'm like, ey. Like, this is just Love Story.
Yeah.
Love Story didn't end with Romeo and Juliet killing themselves. No. They changed.
Yeah. Certainly not.
They changed the fate, right?
Yeah.
But as we go through Life of a Showgirl, don't have a ton to say other than like you see like that mentor and protege.
Yeah.
Dynamic come out.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true.
And I really love the bridge.
Yeah, which
where
is
it's
the
like
bridge.
I took her pearls of wisdom, hung them from my neck, paid my dues with every bruise. I knew what to expect.
Yep.
My throat is getting sore.
Oh no.
Smart
tea.
And then when she's like,
do you want to take a skate on the ice inside my veins? What a line.
Yeah.
Wow.
The lyrics here in popping out more than I remember.
I know that I have them in front of me. That's why.
It's good shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like Taylor's at a point in her life where she is now in that mentor stage. And like how many close people does she have in her life? There's like the Haim sisters. There's Gracie Abrams. There's Sabrina Carpenter, Lana Del Rey, and Selena Gomez. All of these people are kind of like her equals in some kind of way, but she's also like dealing with things at a level that
I would say like intense, someone like Sabrina Carpenter is probably like a mentee,
yeah,
for sure. Like maybe not like a Selena because they kind of came up around the same time.
Yeah,
obviously Selena took a very different path.
Yeah,
but like she knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
with what she's doing.
Yeah,
but someone like Sabrina is like on a not the same kind of path, but a similar Taylor Swift-esque path.
Yeah.
But she's much newer in her career, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love, like, you don't know the life of a showgirl.
Yeah.
That's, like, coming from the mentor to the protege.
Yeah.
But then it's also Taylor saying it to us, where it's, like, we see all of the glitz and the glam. It's like in a sitcom where... you know, you see all of the interactions between the characters, but then like, when are they doing their dishes? When are they just like not talking?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what this album is kind of showing as well. Like what is all the stuff behind the stage?
Yeah.
As much as what we see as well.
But very much like this is the life I want.
Yeah.
That is really, because the mentor is like, this is, you don't want this, but it's also all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
And also, the very end of the song is very well crafted, too. Because it, like, you know, it's like it's a show and it's just like the closing for the whole album. It's very just like,
yeah.
It's just nice.
And it's all like the crowd noise and whatnot is from Vancouver. It's from the last show of the Eras Tour. Yeah.
The very last show?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's so cute. I didn't know that.
So Sabrina 50. Was there for the last
one? I don't know if Taylor and Sabrina talking was from the last show, but like the crowd noise is from the last show.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
For Life of a Showgirl, this was my favorite storytelling song.
Okay. I like that.
Where she's like telling a story.
Yeah. It's a fun song. It's a really fun song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like the lyrics are like very enjoyable.
Yeah. Agreed.
Even like Sabrina's verse.
Yeah, I love Sabrina's verse.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's next?
Now we get into it. The Fate of Ophelia.
Let's do it. Okay, let me find it. Yeah, it is. It's the best song on the album.
I love it. I love it a lot.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
It's really, really fun.
I like, and I've got so many notes from like when I was listening to it and just like the production standpoint. But again, like that was the least fun I had listening to the song, where I was like, ooh, love that snare and like all the reverb. I think the reverb, it's all very interesting because like crafting a song, there's a lot of choices that go into it. But yeah, you got any thoughts right off the bat, Stefan?
I was just going to say like the way that Taylor Swift ordered the songs in the album is just very like well thought out, and like obviously she comes out with the banger, and then like, you know, the first four songs are just like super catchy and easy to listen. Like she knows exactly what she's doing.
Oh, yeah. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah, down perfectly. Like she knows that you don't start with something slow and then lose attention.
She also probably knew exactly which songs would be harder to like popular vote would not. Like something like Honey.
Yeah.
Like you stick those songs in the middle. You always do. Yeah. You just know the songs that people might not be as like, what is the word I'm saying? Not as like many people, not as wide audience. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You guys get it.
Broad appeal.
Broad appeal. Yes, exactly.
It's like kind of like Ophelia is kind of unique. Also kind of like, I wouldn't, maybe not well known, but I feel like people are kind of like, oh, like I kind of heard of this before. And obviously, like you said earlier, like it ties into the whole Shakespeare thing, which is very cool with her Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. And I think like the Fate of Ophelia kind of starts off the album where she was in her life. So the Eras Tour ran from like 2023 to 2025, 2024. 2025. I don't know. Maybe it was
this or fall of 2024 or
I think it was November 2024.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. About a year.
Yeah.
Just under a year ago it ended. That kind of makes sense.
And so I don't know if you guys seen the music video for The Fate of Ophelia.
Just clips. I've watched the whole thing. But.
Yeah, it ends on the cover shot of her in the bath with like almost the water. I thought the album cover was incredible.
It was great. Really good album cover.
Yeah. And just like that, the imagery it evoked in me is just somebody who is like, just like that close from drowning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like exactly what is coming through.
But all like done up and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like you have like that outer shell that is doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the person inside who is drowning. Mm-hmm. And she's drowning because at the start of the Eras Tour, her and Joe broke up. And do you know who Joe is, Stefan?
No.
He was the British guy that she was dating for like 6 years.
Okay.
And there's a song that she has that around like the time that she wrote around the time they were breaking up. And it was like, I wouldn't marry me either, a pathological people pleaser.
Damn.
And so it's like something might be happening in that relationship where he's like, I don't, you know, he was very private. He didn't want to have like a public life.
Yeah, they were very private together.
Very, very private. Yeah. And then also maybe didn't really want to get married either.
Right.
Like, oh, so that's so bougie. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, the system and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, why do we need to do that? That's so stupid. Blah, blah, blah.
Those people. Fucking.
Right?
Yeah.
So this 6 year relationship ends at the right start of the Eras Tour. He doesn't even come to one of the shows. I don't think he does. And then she gets into a whirlwind like 2 week long thing with Maddie Healy of the 1975. Yes. And this...
That was crazy.
This situationship has been around for like 10 years.
Yeah.
There's a chance that Red is about Maddie Healy, okay. like the song Red. Because Halsey has a song called Blue.
Yes. I love that song. God, and we love Halsey.
And Blue is about
house.
Maddie Healy.
Oh. Oh, I'm going to... Okay.
Loving him was blue like I've never known.
Yeah.
You know?
What a good fucking song.
Yeah. And she's got lots of like references.
Yeah. Great song.
Exactly. So yeah, blah, 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 blah. Lots of references to Maddie Healy throughout different things. But there's this like intense 2-week situationship in the middle of the Eras tour. And at one of Maddie Healy's shows, he mouths the words, you know who you are. I love you. And Taylor mouths the words, you know who you are. I love you. Or I love you. You know who you are. Damn. Blah, blah, blah. So like this very intense thing happens and then he ghosts her. And like from what we know from songs, it was like, you know, it's the I want to see like a wedding ring. I want to move this ring to the one that people put wedding bands on, things like that. So just like a very, very intense thing that just crashes.
That just died.
Yeah. So it's I'm making the parallel to Ophelia where Ophelia doesn't really know, does Hamlet love her?
Right.
Does Hamlet not love her?
Right.
And all of those kinds of things. And she has no idea what to believe anymore. And now she's just drowning.
Right.
Because she would talk about the album started forming as she's doing the Eras tour and her body is just completely exhausted.
Yeah.
Every single night doing 3.5-hour shows. And she's performing through like sickness and blah, blah, blah. And so after the show, she would go home or go to wherever they were staying and she would like have a bath.
Yes.
And so like the lots of Ophelia
stuff going on there.
Lots of Ophelia stuff going on and just like drowning.
Yeah.
It's also very interesting, like doing these shows every day and 3.5-hour shows and always doing them at the very end of the night. So like when does she ever truly relax?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of tough because you don't have like that end of day, like, oh, I'm just going to like relax after. It's like, oh, these shows are ending at like midnight or later and then you get home. Like, so I'm hoping that she sleeps in. I'm hoping she's like the type.
Well, and that's what the bath I think is, right? It's like, I can't go to sleep right away. Like so much has happened in the last 4 hours. So we're going to sit in the bath.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just think.
Yeah.
And reflect.
Wow.
It's crazy. I have so many like notes and then like some things about the lyrics and whatnot. But again, it's like, it's just the least interesting fucking thing.
Right.
To like pick apart all these things.
Right.
And like the experience that I have listening to it
is much more fun.
Is so much more fun.
Yeah.
Even Taylor talks about how she incorporates like the modern English with like Keep It 100.
Yeah.
And team and vibes and whatnot.
Yeah.
But also has in the bridge, 'tis locked inside my memory.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like that's a nice little structural crafty thing. But it doesn't capture how much I just fucking love singing this song.
It is a super fun song.
Yeah.
It's so fun to listen to.
However, one thing I want to mention. So there is the Pledge Allegiance. Oh, wait. No. I swore my loyalty to me, myself, and I right before you lit my sky up.
Oh.
So Taylor has an Instagram post. I think it was like July 7th or something. 2024.
Okay.
2023.
Okay.
And it's her, the Haim sisters, Selena Gomez, and somebody else. And it's happy belated Independence Day from your local neighborhood independent girlies. See you tonight, Kansas City. So you might not understand what I'm trying to convey here, but
Kansas City.
Kansas City is the show that Travis went to.
Yes.
And then after the Kansas City shows, he went on the podcast.
Yes,
and was like,
I love her.
I tried to see her. I would like to date her.
Yes. Yep.
And she loves that.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that.
Yes.
Because on the New Heights podcast.
Grand gesture.
She was like, this is the megaphone. I heard you calling me on the megaphone.
Yeah. 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 Wow.
And it's funny how it happened right after this like Independence Day.
Yes.
From your local neighborhood independent girlies.
She probably had plans to stay single.
That's usually how it goes.
Fucked around.
Shout out to my ex.
Yeah. Shout out.
Don't worry, they'll never make it this far again.
Yeah. They do listen.
Yeah, man, if you haven't been listening to the last episodes, I feel like you've missed some good shit.
Yeah, there's been some drama. Not drama. Well, some drama.
Yeah, I gotta just like start hammering out a bunch of episodes.
Now your iPod works.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm driving or whatever. I find it really hard like to listen during work. Like I typically don't do that because there's already way too much.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Okay, I feel like we talked about Elizabeth Taylor.
Do you guys know the Elizabeth Taylor lore?
What are you?
We got 5 minutes.
You have 5 minutes? That's all you have? Oh, really? Oh, I misunderstood.
Because I do want to eat before my 7-hour shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeesh.
Just want to eat before my 7-hour shift.
That's fair. Well, okay, you share any more of your hot takes.
That's pretty much everything that was, like, written down, my analysis.
Do you want me to go through, like, the events in Taylor's life that I think each song relates to?
Sure.
If there are things.
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
Elizabeth Taylor, I think, relates to like the European leg of the tour when she starts writing the album.
Okay.
Because she references Paris and Italy.
Okay.
And that happened like May and July 2024.
Okay.
And I think her and Travis also went to Lake Como after the Milan shows.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And again, like this big Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton parallel, where like two of the most famous people in the world on this wild love affair.
Yeah.
Sauntering around Europe and whatnot.
Crazy.
Do you know, so Richard Burton, do you know anything about Richard Burton
and
Elizabeth Taylor? So they were married twice.
Okay.
They ended up.
Love it.
They ended up divorced. But they wrote letters to each other, like, throughout their entire lives.
Wow.
Elizabeth Taylor received Richard Burton's last letter to her after he died.
So he sent it, and then he died?
Yeah. And so, like, if your letters ever said goodbye, I'd cry my eyes violet. So I thought that was, like,
cute.
I think, like, the Elizabeth Taylor song, very, like, Taylor Swift is a bit of a historian kind of thing.
I mean, if you listen to Travis Kelce, she's the smartest woman on the planet.
Man,
they really
that man loves her.
There, you know,
there's no fucking way.
Her talking about, I gotta talk about this. So, Fallon asked her if she was ever gonna do Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and she gave her reason for never doing Super Bowl, and it was like it was the equivalent of her using 4-syllable words and Travis being like, "Oh my God, listen to her speak." She was like, "He puts his life on the line." Every time he steps onto the field, his life is on the line.
Facts.
And I'm going to be out here talking about my choreo. No, which is adorable, but also very dramatic. And it is very equivalent to him talking about how she's a genius for using 4-syllable words. It's adorable. Like they're obsessed with each other.
I love them.
They think each other are just the best that they could possibly be.
Yeah.
She should have done Super Bowl. That would have been super entertaining.
It was a
that
good reason.
But I also see why she is.
It's a very good reason.
I believe it's totally on the table after he retires.
Oh, yeah. I could see that for sure. Yeah. It's a fair reason, especially if she believes his life is on the line every time he
facing
steps
down people like James Harrison.
It's just so funny.
Not
it's
anymore,
just like really, it's quite adorable that they're both like, you are just
incredible.
Yeah, they love each other. They're obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
It's like they're both very dramatic about each other.
As they should be.
Which is adorable.
Which I think ties back to like what Taylor is showing with his album as well, where it's like you know, people only respect Taylor. They don't think she does anything legitly. She only writes about breakups. She only writes, I forget what I was going to say, but they just like don't really respect her.
Right.
And every time an album comes out, it's like they're asking Taylor Swift to prove something to them.
Yeah.
And she's like, I actually am with somebody who doesn't make me prove anything.
Who just thinks I'm awesome.
Yeah. And I am awesome. And I'm awesome in the way that, like, She mentioned in an interview where people that get to know her, they're like, oh, I didn't know you were like funny. I didn't know you like made jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like this version of Taylor that we had to let go of like years and years and years ago.
Right.
Who then like just began suffering and experiencing so much pain.
Yes.
Is still there. We just have not seen her.
Yeah.
And then once she shows that side to people, she really sees who her like friends and foes are.
Right. Yeah. True, true.
Because even the friends who supported her being like, oh, you're such a genius. If she puts out something where it's not like, oh, look at all my lyrical genius and whatnot.
Yeah.
Right in your fucking face. Are you still going to be
impressed and happy for me? And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of people not be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going? Are you leaving us?
Should I let Rue out? She's crying.
Well, do you have to leave us?
Pretty soon here, yeah. I mean, you guys can always continue.
We have to.
We have to.
We have to.
This is going to be the longest episode we've ever.
This is the event of the season.
There's a lot to unpack,
eh? I was so prepared.
I made so many notes.
He printed out all the Oh, fuck. I said his name
I went through the interviews and wrote the interview notes on the back for each song.
Oh, my goodness.
Elizabeth Taylor is the ultimate icon and role model. She was under pressure, was scrutinized, and the more polarized she became, the more risky her moves were, and she always used like humor as a device to like get through those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Shake it off.
Yeah. Shake it off.
Baby. Shake it off.
Shake it off.
Yeah, I might have to cut my portion here.
Well, you'll hopefully enjoy the listening to the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try and listen to the whole episode.
It was a pleasure. I'm really glad that you suggested it.
This is a great idea.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was like, man, all three of us like Taylor Swift, you know, a decent amount, and I think it'll be a very popular type of episode to do. I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing about it, so this might be the one that propels us.
Hell
into
fucking
the
yeah.
stratosphere.
I did want to do a TikTok dance with the three of us, but maybe it'll just be me and Janet.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
I think we'll try it.
Oh,
I think we'll try it.
I don't even have TikTok or anything.
If you have nothing, well, it'll be a reel. If you don't have a heart out, we're gonna have to try it.
It's gonna be so embarrassing.
Because people loved people loved the video.
They did love the video.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to stop recording and then it's gonna take a while
to
fix
my hair
dance.
Though.
And then
my
you
hair
can
is
put
horrible
Taylor Swift
today.
Music over the
no, it's the Ophelia dance.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the sea. No, the lips. Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
Oh my God. Can I fix my hair?
Let's see.
Before we go on video.
Yeah, we can do whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Okay. Bye, Stefferson.
It's been real. So I guess I just.
Just stop recording you.
Yeah. All right, everyone. It's been fun. See you next time.
No scaries.
No scaries.
Oh, this is my Elizabeth Taylor was my favorite song. I'll Die To.
Oh,
because I really inhaled on the. I just love the way that it like
it's fine.
It
it's
drops good. The in the I'd cry my eyes violet. The downbeat is like I'd cry my eyes violet.
Yeah,
and that's really fun.
And that's when you inhaled.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's just so many allusions. Everything is just packed with Elizabeth Taylor references.
Oh man,
I really like. Be My NY when Hollywood Hates Me gets stuck in my head a lot. Because it is like, it's like asking this person
Hollywood
to be your refuge when people have turned their backs on you. And I love that.
Oh, so good. Okay. Opalite.
Ooh, sorry. I fucking love this
shit,
man.
Hit it.
Like the Cartier diamond.
Yep. Yep,
I also love the line is, babe, I would trade the Cartier for someone to trust.
Oh,
kidding.
Yes. Just kidding.
I like that a lot. I think that is like classic cheeky
good.
Taylor
yes,
Swift.
Yes, very
right?
Taylor Swift-esque humor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's like, it's also like, what is the truth there?
Yeah.
Does Taylor Swift like diamonds? Yeah.
Probably.
Would Taylor trade a diamond for
someone to trust?
Like the love of her life?
Probably.
Probably. But also,
she doesn't have to.
I do love diamonds.
Yeah.
That shit's still dope.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
All my white diamonds and lovers are forever in the papers, on the screen, and in their minds. I, like, Elizabeth Taylor is just such a, like, imagine you're starting to date Travis Kelce, and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, fuck, I'm, like, falling in love with this guy. I'm feeling the things that I always have wanted to feel and the things that I have felt through all of these relationships, but I just had two of the most traumatic relationship endings
right.
of my life,
right.
and I have no idea what to trust or who to be or how to, like, get through this moment. And I think that comes out really, really cool
yeah.
in All My White Diamonds and Lovers Are Forever, in the papers, on the screen, and in their minds.
Yeah.
Also, White Diamonds, Elizabeth Taylor's perfume fragrance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Amazing. They say I'm bad news. I just say thanks.
Yeah. Moussa and Frank's, very famous restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at me like you're hypnotized, and I think you know why. Travis is hypnotized by Taylor Swift.
For sure.
Oh, my God. For I'm sure. so fucking happy.
Like, maybe took a love potion.
Like.
Yeah.
But would you need to?
It's true.
It's crazy.
It's true.
It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Okay.
Did you see the clip where she's talking about Travis being in the tent with Greta Gerwig?
Oh, yes.
That was a really fun story.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was a really, really fun story.
Really remember.
Well, she was like, you know, Travis is always in the tents, and he, you know, after the show, we're in the car and we, like, have the full debrief of, like, all the tea in the tents.
Yes.
And Travis was, like, really excited to meet Greta Gerwig because he, like, really loves Barbie.
Yeah.
And he has this joke where he's like, that's my Barbie, I'm just Ken too.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And so he told that joke to Greta Gerwig, and it didn't. And she, like, just politely laughed or whatever. But he completely mistook Hugh Grant's wife for Greta Gerwig.
Oh.
But that tent that night had people like Tom Cruise and Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis and Greta Gerwig and Hugh Grant.
Damn.
It was crazy.
Poppin'.
Yeah. I saw one comment that was like, can we hold Taylor, can we, like, not obviously see that Taylor is a Scientologist, because why else would Tom Cruise be at a Taylor Swift show with his daughter
right.
if she wasn't a Scientologist? And I was like, I feel like you literally just answered the question.
Yeah.
His daughter yeah. was there.
Oh, that's very funny.
People are losing their goddamn minds.
They are losing their minds. Okay, let's move to Opalite.
Okay.
I've got to pull this up on my thing. Yeah, it was not my favorite, but it's so cute.
Yeah, that dancing through the lightning strikes is
yep.
really the first in my
Sleepless
desperate
in the
first lyric.
Next night.
But it does have some Kayla Nicole.
Yeah, this is the one.
Tea.
Yeah, this is the one with the Kayla Nicole.
But nobody knew, like, we didn't hear about Kayla Nicole until
Kayla Nicole brought it up.
But no, like. I feel like me and you talked about it before the album was even out.
No, we talked about it after. We
oh,
talked
really?
About it last weekend.
Okay.
And I didn't mention the song, but I just said that there was.
Well, I know that, like, she's
responded.
Been attacked by Taylor Swift fans before.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Sucks.
But
it is
Taylor,
a crazy thing.
Taylor does like her friends canceled.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think it's, I don't think Kayla Nicole has ever said anything against Taylor Swift. Like, I don't yeah. think it's a, I'm blaming Taylor for this thing.
Yeah.
It's more like, it's really shitty that my entire life is now defined by this guy I used to date.
Yeah.
And that's all people talk about.
Yeah.
And hate me because yeah. I, yeah.
And it's really interesting because we get, like, this one verse of, like, Travis's last relationship. You couldn't understand it, why you felt alone. You were in it for real. She was in her phone and you were just a pose,
mm-hmm.
which is a little harsh.
It's harsh.
However, it is a 5-year relationship.
Yeah.
Reduced to
one.
4 lines
yeah.
in a song.
Yeah. And probably the end when it wasn't good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I saw some, like, gossip articles, near the end of their relationship where she was, like, posting reels or TikToks or videos of, like, interactions between him, and they were not nice.
Right.
And he was like, can you just put away the fucking phone?
Yeah.
Like, are we seriously doing this? Like, what? And it's like she's like being,
I'm
pissing off my boyfriend, and
right,
he's having such an overreaction, which is very fair.
Yeah.
But relationships are that two-way street.
Yeah, that's the thing, and like, it was unsuccessful for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna be your best self.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Yeah.
She can just like start hanging out with Maddie Healy and Joe, and they can commiserate about like how miserable it is being in a Taylor Swift song.
Exactly. I think that's all super fair.
It
and
is.
I think like it's reflecting some of like what is going on with Taylor in this time period as well, where it's like, what the fuck is happening with me and all of these fucking relationships? It's the anti-hero.
Right.
It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. And so Travis can come to this relationship and be like, I didn't act the way that I wanted to be acting, and I wasn't treating her great.
Yeah.
And I'm awful and blah, blah, blah. But at some point, y'all, like, the truth and the closure that comes from a relationship, there is no objective truth.
It's so true.
And it's all much more complicated and
it
nuanced.
It is so true. I think I would have more criticism of Taylor if there was more about Kayla Nicole in this song.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like it, you know, I think she does walk this line very well. But like, talk about your own shit all day. But you really shouldn't talk too much about other people's shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're allowed to share your experiences with your exes and your friends and all of that and your partner. But yeah, you should really limit how much you are bad-mouthing people that you really you really have no idea.
Well, it goes back to like this concept of karma, where it's like, if you're going out of your way to trash people, you're going to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have no excuse for, like, it's not that you deserve what is coming to you, but you are definitely setting a precedent.
Yeah, for sure.
That you're okay with it coming your way.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
You can't not expect it to come your way.
Exactly. And, like, and this song being so specifically about Travis.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it comes up. And she is speaking about it from his perspective.
From his perspective. And, okay, so we have Elizabeth Taylor, where she's calling out to the spirit of Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
To provide her some guidance.
Yes.
So the first call to guidance and like this mentorship dynamic is already in the second song.
Yes.
Now we get to Opalite, but my mama told me it's all right in the first chorus.
Yeah.
In the second chorus. And that's when I told you it's all right.
Right.
And then in the third chorus, it's all right.
Yeah.
And so again, you're seeing like this dynamic from like, this is something I learned from somebody. This is how it came out in this time of my life.
Yeah.
And now I'm also passing this advice or wisdom onto you.
Yeah.
Which I think is beautiful.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
Make your own sunshine.
What's your birthstone?
Emerald.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's yours?
Garnet.
Is that that's like the kind of orangey?
Red.
Oh, red. Okay. Yeah. Like a dark red.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then Stefan's is amethyst.
February. Yeah, I guess amethyst. I think that's right.
Do you have any amethysts show up in your smut stories that you write?
Yeah, all the smut stories I'm writing. Took me a second to process that. No, no.
Man, my throat's gonna be fucked after this. Oh, also. At the end of the first verse said, when you know, and when you don't, a reference to episode 37 of Shame on Me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. When you don't know, you don't know. And when you know, you still don't know. You don't know.
When you don't know,
you don't know.
You don't know that you think, you know, even though
You don't know.
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, cute song. Definitely grew
cute
on me.
Cute song.
Grew on me a lot.
Yep.
Okay, what are
she
we doing?
Also keeps talking about how this album and this era especially like Opalite, is like exactly how she feels right now.
Yeah.
And so after Tortured Poets came out, she was like, I'm actually not in that space anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting having that misalignment,
right,
between what's coming out and where, right, she is.
That's interesting.
But there's like,
and now she's like, yeah, this is how I feel currently. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think Travis Kelce said Opalite was his favorite song.
Yeah.
On the podcast before it came out.
Yeah. I wonder, I believe that, but I also wonder, like, cause again, like, I wonder what he thinks about everything.
Well, and this is the thing, like, they're both PR trained and their conversations that they're having in front of people, probably not the same conversations they're having behind, right, the scenes, which is fair.
But also, like, I would love to see his reaction the first time he heard Wood.
Did you see the clip of him and Jason talking about it?
Yeah.
It was very funny.
The Japanese maple.
Yeah. And Jason being like, well, if someone was talking about my dick, I'd be really happy. And they had to like bleep it every, or I think he was saying cock and they were like bleeping it. He was like, if someone's talking, and it was like, all right, Jason, you go off. Jason, not as PR trained, and we're here for it.
No, absolutely. I do have a question for the group.
Okay.
Even though Stefan's gone.
Yep.
What is our Wood?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want
to. Birch was coming to mind for me.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess I don't know, like, a lot of woods.
Yeah, I'm like, that's maybe where
I could
where
also
I'm...
see cedar.
Cedar, no.
But I don't know what, well, I don't know what messages that sent,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't
either.
Think cedar. I don't know why, but
from
I just.
My wood?
No. I'm not talking about your wood.
I did have a note. I would hate to be bonsai.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be good.
For, like, so many reasons,
so
right?
So many reasons.
Like, you're getting all twisty and whatnot.
Yeah, and,
but
like...
you're also very small.
So small and so high maintenance. Like, so high maintenance. Really need
I
a lot of care.
I think I've got a friend who has a bonsai in their lives.
Is that micropenis guy?
You can't say that.
Oh, really? I can't say that.
We're going to have to beep it.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm going to... Okay, sorry.
That's okay. This will be the clip.
I'm going to write it down right now, even though all these times are wrong.
Father figure.
Oh, hold on.
I think it also had my favorite line on the first list. Oh, no. Opalite was my favorite first listen.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I think probably Fate of Ophelia or... Showgirl,
yeah,
was my favorite first listen.
I was just so into like the production,
yeah,
and audio thing with the Fate of Ophelia. And also, again, I'm coming off of this, seeing this TikTok from someone being like, I don't think she's ever read Hamlet in,
right,
her life.
And so you were automatically like, I'm gonna love this song.
Well, your guard's a little bit up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when your guard's up, nothing is like soup. You can't really feel what you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, fuck, I love the Fate of Ophelia.
It's a great song.
Ophelia. And then for Father Figure, it has my first line.
Okay.
Or my favorite line on the first listen, because I did really like, I can make deals with the devil because my dick's bigger.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I do think it is very funny that people are like, not scandalized, but just like, oh my God, Taylor Swift said the word dick.
Yeah.
I think that's a very funny reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, she's getting dick down. She's, yeah, she's having a good time, you know?
Man, I really hope I find a note that I need to find.
Okay.
Something about broken backs.
Yeah, I'm just like yeah, it's a fun song.
I really like it. Who do you imagine as like the father figure
in the song?
Yeah. Or
I
like
think...
what people do you put into the song?
See, that's where my like lack of knowledge comes in, cuz mm-hmm. I don't really know all the lore. I mean, it sounds like her.
Yeah.
Right? That I don't know. Yeah, this is where my I don't know a lot of the lore, so I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll fill you in on the lore.
Please do.
I'll also fill you in on some of the edits that I've seen.
Okay.
So the lore, this is just a master's song.
Okay.
This is all about like the person who she signed on with And then he turns around and sells her masters.
That makes a lot of sense. Right? This love is pure profit. Step into my office.
And they're...
They'll know your name in the streets. Leave it with me. I protect the family.
Leave it with me. I protect the family is said 6 times.
Yeah, wow.
And as much as that could be intentional or not intentional, there were 6 albums that she did not own her masters to. And so it's
this empire belongs to me. Yeah, wow. Okay, I see it 100%.
And it's like, don't worry about it. Just like, I've got you covered.
Yeah.
I've got you covered. Nothing bad is going to happen. And then like one of the biggest betrayals of her life comes at the hand of this guy. At the hand of this guy.
Yeah.
They don't make loyalty like they used to.
Yeah. Kindness for weak. Yeah, because she is, it really is going between speaking from his perspective and from her perspective. Like, really almost line by line.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I get, like, a little too into the minutiae, where it's like, okay, which line is,
right.
And it's just like, if I just let it flow,
yes,
it makes so,
and
it,
you know what?
All makes sense.
I'm going to add one. So some of it is what he's saying directly to her. Some of it's what she's saying. Some of it is what he is meaning, but not saying.
Ooh.
Like, you'll be sleeping with the fishes before you know you're drowning.
Yo,
that's a
yeah.
his thing, but that's not what he's saying to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he might be saying the who covered up your scandals.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think there's 3 things going on there.
Oh, well, yeah. And again, like, that's where it gets... Because, like, whose portrait is on the mantle? Taylor Swift's portrait is on the mantle.
But who covered up your scandals?
Well...
Oh, I guess she... Well, that could
there's
be...
There's a good chance that... Well, I mean, I think with father figure, it is this thing of, like, ooh, Taylor was discovered as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But as she grew up, she became very savvy. And she learned a lot of lessons through this.
Yeah.
And has now outgrown...
Yeah.
The father figure.
She is a businesswoman.
And, like, I don't know if you know who Tree Payne is.
Mm-mm.
Tree Payne is Taylor's publicist.
Okay.
And so, like, Tree Payne has the entertainment industry by the fucking throat, man.
Okay.
There is nothing that gets published about Taylor Swift that Taylor Swift does not want published.
I believe that.
Because, like...
nothing that gets published about Taylor Swift.
No.
Basically,
and everything
period.
That gets published is like through E or People.
Totally.
And it's all through Tree Payne.
Yeah.
So Tree Payne is this redhead that if you see a redhead beside Taylor Swift,
okay.
That is Tree Payne.
So just
and
a
she's
shark.
She's got everybody by the fucking balls,
just a
man.
Fucking shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she needs.
Like, nothing's getting posted on TMZ.
No.
Because TMZ gets something about Taylor Swift, they call Tree Payne.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for her. Gotta have good people.
Absolutely.
That makes me like the song more.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, we're not done yet.
Oh my God. Okay.
We're not done yet.
Okay. Keep going.
There are different, you can like plug and play so many different people into this song as well. So like Taylor is the protege.
Yep.
But as the father figure, are there any proteges that she has? So you can like put Sabrina Carpenter in there.
Yep.
There's some like Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay.
Drama.
I think I did hear something about this.
Where
I saw her name pop up.
I think it's a little bit of a misinformation that Taylor Swift sued Olivia Rodrigo over some songs.
Okay.
And more, it was like something happened where
there
like
some conversation between teams, maybe
between teams.
Yeah.
And Olivia Rodrigo ended up putting Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff on some song credits.
Oh, okay.
I think the person who sued Olivia Rodrigo is somebody from Paramore.
Oh, I also saw something about Paramore.
Because on Olivia Rodrigo's Sour album, she has like one song with Paramore and Hayley Williams credited.
Oh, love Hayley Williams.
She also has a couple songs with Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff credited.
Okay.
And when Jack Antonoff was asked about it, he was like, I was really surprised.
That I
do
got
even
credit.
See my name
right.
in those credits.
Right.
So I think it was in my, like, I don't really understand everything, but I know, like, I think the person who actually sued was from Paramore.
I really can't. I think it would have to be something pretty egregious for Taylor to go through the process of suing someone.
Yeah.
Just because she doesn't need it. She doesn't need it. She doesn't like bad press.
Yeah.
She really doesn't like any press unless it's specifically about her music or her tour, I would say.
Yeah.
So, like, that makes more sense to me. Just yeah. because, like, not to say that Paramore or Hayley Williams is petty or anything, but I could see their label or their agents or their publicists having more of a say in yeah. their story than people do in Taylor's story.
Yeah.
Taylor's got, she needs, yeah. she is the leader of that ship.
And it might have been a hard lesson for Olivia Rodrigo to learn.
Right.
Where, you know, we, some people can criticize Taylor for being media trained.
Yes.
But when Olivia Rodrigo says in a behind the scenes documentary about songwriting, oh, I wanted this to be like Cruel Summer.
Right.
You don't have a ton of a leg to stand yeah. on. And yeah. then also using the riff from the beginning of New Year's Day.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Saying like you're inspired by someone.
Yeah.
Much better than saying, I love this one song and yeah. I want it to be like this one song yeah. versus Taylor Swift is so inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, so they got credited on the songs and they get half of the revenue
right.
from the songs.
Right.
Rather than suing her and getting 100% of the revenue.
Right. Which makes sense.
Very, very popular songs.
And I mean, Olivia Rodrigo did the work. It's yeah. not all, it's not like, yeah, that's fair. I think yeah. that makes sense.
I like thinking about father figure.
Yep.
As Taylor also talking to Travis.
Okay.
At the end.
Okay. Okay.
What? Do I
protect the
like
family.
This? Never mind. I don't think that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. I'm trying to find.
But I can see this, like, I don't think it's inspired by her relationship with Travis, but like, I can also see her taking him under her wing. Mm-hmm. I can see her taking him under her wing when they first started dating and he is like entering this brand new fucking world.
Totally.
So again, like that mentor protege by Stefan.
Yeah. And even though he was more in that world than some other athletes, still nowhere close,
yeah.
you know, cause he had the reality TV show and
yeah.
he was dating a model and they were present on
yep.
socials. Yeah. Okay. I can see it a little bit.
I'm not done.
Keep going.
When I think about this, it's hard not to think about Taylor Swift's father, right?
Yeah. Is he in the picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Him and her mom are divorced.
Okay.
But.
Because she talks about her mom a lot more, I feel like, right? Is that a thing?
No.
Okay.
Her dad just had like a quintuple bypass.
Yes. Okay.
Earlier this year, I think.
That's right. She did talk about that on the podcast that she went and took.
Yep.
They went and all lived at the house. Well, her and her brother went and lived at the house and like took care of him. Yep. Yes. Okay. I remember this now.
And he was on the release tour with her and the rest of her family as well. But her dad is friends with Andy Reid, the
yes.
coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So.
Yes.
But I just think about like, you know, Scott being like that first father figure for her. That is still like this, I'm going to help you. You're going to be my protege kind of thing.
Okay.
And how that, there's a song on Tortured Poets called Thank You, Amy.
Okay.
And some people, I could see it being a song to her dad.
Okay.
A lot of people think it's to Kim Kardashian because the K-I-M are capitalized in Thank You, Amy.
That's right. Yes, I remember that.
But there's this idea that like Scott Swift was like Taylor Swift's first bully.
Oh.
And like was really
hard on her.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So yeah, I also have that floating around in my head.
Okay. When you listen.
But I've seen a lot of edits on TikTok.
Okay.
With this song and Succession.
Yeah.
As well as Star Wars.
Oh,
with
fun.
Anakin and Obi-Wan.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, cute.
And that's one of my favorite things that's happened over this last week, where like there's so many people who are like, worst album, terrible songwriting, ripped off everybody, can't write a song,
right.
blah, blah, blah. And there are still people enjoying the music and
the
applying
truth.
It to like, just like treating it like the art that it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I really love that.
Again, if you're not having fun, what are you doing?
Yeah, right. And it really is devastating when you're not having fun.
It's true.
And everybody else is.
Okay, what do we got next? Is it eldest daughter?
Eldest
next?
Daughter.
All right.
This is my favorite bridge.
Oh, okay. Which one is the bridge? What does that mean again?
Tell me. We Lie Back. Beautiful, beautiful time.
It's like that lapse. One little, there's one version of it in the whole song.
Yeah.
There's one bridge.
Oh, you were asking what a bridge literally is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also what it is in the song. Both of those. Okay. But yes.
That was almost embarrassing.
For me?
For me.
Okay, yeah. So it's that one verse in the song that only happens once and usually happens later in the song.
Yeah. And it's completely different structure than than the verse.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't think I loved it the first couple times. Like, I think not even that I didn't love it, it really just didn't stand out to me much.
Yeah.
And I would say structurally, like sound wise, it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
But I see it.
Track 5 on Taylor Swift albums are legendary.
Interesting.
These are like the biggest, not the biggest songs off the album, but like these are the most heartfelt.
Okay. Give me some examples.
I think Teardrops on My Guitar.
Oh, fuck me. I'm going to look at Tortured Poets. Because I was listening to Tortured Poets a lot last weekend.
So Long London.
Yep.
And I forget what the double album one was. It was How Did It End?
Oh, in the second half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lover was The Archer.
Okay.
Midnight's is Maroon. Is it Maroon? No. Check. It's Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda. No. Fuck.
See. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're on your own, kid.
All Too Well was a track 5. Dear John was a track 5.
Okay.
I forget what Fearless's track 5
was.
Let's
check.
Reputation was, I want to say, Delicate.
White Horse. Oh, what a fucking song. White Horse. Okay, I can check Reputation. And then, did we already say Red?
Red was All Too Well.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Delicate.
Delicate, yeah. So it's one of like, they're usually seen as like the most vulnerable songs on the album.
Okay. She is a numbers girly. She loves numerology.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Cool. Makes sense. She's the eldest daughter.
But like this one was tough because you listen to the first verse and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like this is as vulnerable
as what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like it's not necessarily mind blowing stuff. Like everyone's cutthroat in the comments. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she talks a lot about the public life. Like how everybody has that public life, and then the things that get rewarded in public life are not necessarily the things that we value outside of that public life.
Yeah.
And she talks about this song a lot as like you have this facade, but then you also have this internal thing. And once you start like caring about somebody, you start showing them that thing that you've kind of been keeping hidden.
Yeah. Yeah, the pretty soon I learned cautious discretion.
Yeah.
When your first crush crushes something kind.
Yeah. Oof. In the Apple Music video, Zayn was like, did you see the picture of Taylor and Travis driving in like his convertible away from a Chiefs game one time?
Nope.
That was like really early when they were dating.
Kay.
And he was like, and he tied that to this cautious discretion line where her driving with the top down with Travis was like her being able to throw away that cautious discretion.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, honestly, like my family are saying like the exact same thing, how they just like, they feel like the public persona of Taylor is now able to be aligned with the private persona
of
Taylor.
Yeah.
And I think like that's kind of what this whole song is about.
I can see that. Yeah, because it has been, you definitely get the vibe, he's not threatened by her. They're both quite willing to be public together in probably as much public as they're going to be, which is still not as public as other people. But I can see that.
How do you feel as an eldest daughter listening to it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it probably hit me as much as it hit other people.
Yeah.
Like, I think some people really feel the birth order thing.
Mm.
I don't think I felt it in that way as much. I think her take on this is definitely like, you're the first one to have these experiences. Mm. And that's one way to look at an eldest daughter thing. The other way to look at it is like having responsibility, mm-hmm. which is not the angle she took here, which is totally fair. Yeah. That's more where my eldest daughter.
The responsibility.
Yeah. Part. Well, not like the first one to have experiences and going through those without any model or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do kind of see it come out in the.
Okay.
Every youngest child felt they were raised up in the wild, but now you're home.
Yeah.
Because she's the eldest daughter.
Yep.
Travis is the youngest child.
Mm, okay.
And like when I think of and when I listen to it as the youngest child.
Yes.
I've never necessarily felt like I've been raised out in the wild.
Right.
But there is something about that line that
it hits
very.
I could also impactful. See. I think it is a thing, especially with larger families.
Okay.
Like if there's like four or five kids. I think that is probably true a lot of the time for the youngest child. It's just like, we don't know where the fuck they are.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. We've at this point kind of given up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't come from a large family because you're only like 5 foot tall.
That was really, really good.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him. What do I hear here?
Oh, okay. The first, so I'd search the lyrics for this one so I would have them up. Top stories. Eldest daughter is trying to fix Taylor Swift's lyrics is so on brand.
What?
Oh. The article title is Eldest. Okay. Well, Taylor Swift's eldest daughter lyrics are being rewritten by eldest daughters.
That's and so fucking funny.
Eldest daughter's trying to fix Taylor Swift's lyrics is so on brand.
That's so fucking funny.
Which is really true.
I think Taylor would love that.
Yeah, I agree. I want to read the article, but I also feel like it would not be that interesting to read silently.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. There's probably some TikToks. Yeah, floating around. Anyways.
Yeah, and it's so funny just like how difficult this song can be to listen to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, this first verse, whatever. But then
yeah, that's
I have been afflicted by a terminal uniqueness. I've been dying just to from trying to seem cool. I did see a review where one guy was like, that line makes me want to throw up. And I'm like, yeah, you can't please everybody, can you?
I like terminal uniqueness. It really loses it for me on the second half of that line.
Dying just from trying? Great poetry.
Yep.
Maybe not like the most.
I think it's the trying to seem cool.
Yeah.
That really is where it's like, okay.
Yeah. And
but,
it's interesting because I don't know if you experience this when you're trying to write something. Because I often experience this barrier where it's like, what do I think I want to say?
Right.
Versus what is actually reflective of my experience.
Well, and that is the hardest thing.
Right?
It is perfect in your head.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Or like, I'll try to write something that is perfect.
But that's the thing. Because it exists in your head exactly as you need it to be.
Well, honestly, I think for me, it's less that and like more like I want to find that perfection in myself.
Right.
I want to be able to say something uniquely blah, blah, blah. When in reality, I'm just like fucking.
Right.
Treading water over here. And that is what
interesting
is more impactful to write about rather than just like, I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine.
It's more like. Ideas exist and they're perfect. I think maybe what I see what you're saying, but like ideas, if someone could just take it from your head and understand mm-hmm. it, they'd be like, oh, I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But the translation part is the hard part.
Yeah.
Like from your head to a page and then into someone else's head.
And also, okay. So like, what do we think Taylor thinks about I've been dying just from trying to seem cool?
Yeah, I think.
Does she look at that and be like, that was the most poetic line I've ever written?
Yeah, no.
Right?
No.
And so that's where I see some of that vulnerability.
Right.
Where it's like, I am actually not trying to form the perfect poetry here. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to
write it, show as it.
I'm just trying to show the side of myself that I kind of keep under wraps.
Which, and I think something people probably don't realize when they're reading or listening to music is if every lyric was terminal uniqueness or life is a willow, that's next level.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like the song.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. You'd be annoyed. It would be pretentious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
it can't all be like that. That's not the way it works.
I don't know where I have it in my notes, but somebody, the Apple Music guy, Zane, was like, what has this album allowed you to leave behind?
Good question.
And she was like, I've always wanted to like make this kind of album, something that's flirty, fun, making jokes, and just like being able to leave this version of Taylor out there and like... Because again, like everything's kind of been a lot more crafted, or not crafted, but I don't know if manufactured is even the word. But like when she talks a lot about how tortured poets, you had the poet character, and for Life of a Showgirl, you have the showgirl mm-hmm. character. She's thinking about things in terms of like archetypes,
yep.
rather
yep.
than like this is the entirety of my being.
Yeah,
this is one facet of my being, and this is a facet that not a lot of people have seen,
right?
Because I have been worried that they're not gonna like it.
Yeah, I've been private about it. Yeah.
And yep. then people have not liked it, and she's like, good.
Yeah,
I love it.
She's like, I'm I expected,
because like this is one of like her most, it's interesting because I think describing it as one of her most personal albums feels weird.
Yeah.
But I think her describing it as like, this is one of like the most true to
yes.
how I see myself.
Yes.
Is accurate.
I could see that. Yeah. Personal. That is interesting. Maybe personal and vulnerable could be seen as different. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the most vulnerable, but yeah. I could see being the most personal because it is probably the most about her
yeah.
and less about other people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And not that like when she sings about relationships and stuff, that's obviously still about her, but yep. it is often more about other people.
Yep.
So maybe that's a way to think about it. Personal versus vulnerable.
Yep. And fucking every eldest daughter was the first lamb to the slaughter.
I mean,
so we all dressed up as wolves and we looked fire. It's like, oh man, it takes you.
Yeah.
But it's not.
We're having fun, you know?
And there's no, yeah, it's like. One thing that I really value when I watch something that really like that I think is really well done in a certain way
mm-hmm.
is like, am I feeling the thing that they wanted me to feel?
Yeah.
When I read, so we all dressed up as wolves and we look fire. Do I hate it? Yeah. Do I think Taylor wanted me to hate it a bit?
Probably.
100%.
Yeah. 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 There's
what, like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, we're not. There's no way. She's like, I'm going to make you cringe a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm cringing a little bit.
Yeah.
And I am cringe and I am free.
Yes. I love it. We love it.
And again, coming back to that mentor mentee.
Yeah.
That power, that dynamic between, I don't know if I would say like power. In this situation, but eldest daughter, youngest child kind of thing.
Yeah.
Never gonna let you down. Beautiful. Oh, yes. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Shamesters. Shamers? Shamimis? Anyway, that will be it for our second hour of Taylor Swift coverage. We've already recorded a third hour, so it's going to be coming your way tomorrow, or not tomorrow, my 2 days from now, on your normal Thursday edition of Shame on Me. I don't think I could handle podcasting every single day if I had to be the one editing it. I just don't have that dog within me. So thankfully we got this one out, and Thursday is definitely coming your way. Till next time, tomorrow, your tomorrow, not my tomorrow. No scaries. Bye.